Good morning, First Friends Church.
Merry the day after Christmas, everyone. Yes,
indeed.
Yeah.
We are so happy to see you guys. We hope you all had a wonderful Christmas yesterday, and the season just continues. We're going to stay in the Christmas spirit with Christmas songs today. In a little bit, we're going to have the kids involved for a Christmas story, and we're going to have a Christmas caroling
extravaganza,
that's what it's called.
Directed
yeah.
by you.
And there's only one announcement, and that's just to say, if you are visiting with us, if you're also online visiting with us, welcome, special welcome to you, and we want to warmly welcome you and offer information about the church to you. If you would so choose to receive it, you can let us know that you are interested with those blue cards, or let us know about you with those blue cards. We're just glad that you are with us worshiping.
Yeah, let's sing some more Christmas songs.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So the Sunday after Christmas, I always like to do these two songs together, Joy to the World and Go Tell It on the Mountain, because it's like, you know, the first Sunday of Advent, I like to sing the songs like, what's it called?
This isn't a good sign, because we're singing Christmas songs today, and if you can't think of any
yeah.
names of Christmas songs, it does not bode well for later.
Yeah.
Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
No.
Up on the Housetop.
You're not helping. See, I can't remember.
Bob said O Holy Night, but
no,
I don't think it's that one
no.
either.
It's the one...
Does it start with O? Was that the hint?
Yes, it's O. That's the one. O Come That Long Expected Jesus, yes.
That makes sense.
So that one, yeah, the beginning of Advent... We're looking ahead. We're putting ourselves in the mind of the Jewish people who are waiting for their Messiah. And so then Christmas, comes. Jesus is born. And so then the Sunday after, we get to celebrate that. And we get to say, joy to the world. The Lord has come. He's here. And then we get to say, go tell it on the mountain. Let's spread the news. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And I invite you to stand and let's worship together. That was anticlimactic, I know, but...
Perfect.
The earth receives.
down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation. That blessed Christmas born, go tell it on the mountain, over hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds,
while shepherds.
What a wonderful name it is, the name
yet could not hold him.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the voice of sin and grief. Thrones are roaring. Praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can
We've done this before, but I want to take a moment and do it again this morning. I think being in the Christmas season adds kind of a different lens to this activity, this exercise. But I want to invite us to think of the name of Jesus that is meaningful to us. Maybe it's meaningful to you all the time, or maybe during the Christmas season you particularly think about this, or maybe just in this season of life. And I just want to invite you to shout it out, and we can worship through the declaring of God's name together. Sing some of those together.
Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes, Lord, you are wonderful. You are Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
His name is strong,
and your name is strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like the world. Your name, let the nations sing aloud. There's nothing as the power to save.
What a beautiful,
what a beautiful name. Beautiful name.
pray with me. God, we are humbled again as we think on this day after Christmas of the beauty of the name of Jesus and all that it represents to us. Emmanuel, God with us. The Son of God, the Lion of Judah. The one whose grace and love are greater than all our sin. Thank you for the steps that you took in order to draw us close to you. We celebrate them again today, and we pray this in the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated, and at this point, we're going to welcome forward some helpers. Cheryl Woolman is going to do a kids' message. So if you are here and you're a kid and you want to join them, you can come right on up here and come up to the steps. And there are some props involved, I believe. I see wings. You can sit right here on these front steps, right there.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. They might need some help this morning because we don't have too many of us. So we're going to do the Christmas story in a little bit different way. How many of you know your ABCs? Great. So they all know their ABCs. So we're going to do the Christmas story using the ABCs. But you're going to have to give me a little bit of help. Who is an angel? All right, we've got some good-looking angels here. So every time you hear the word angel, you have to say, Alleluia. Can you do that? So if I say angel, you're going to say, oh, it's got to be really loud. It's got to be, you can say it as loudly as you want to. So I say angel, you, outdoor recess loud. So I say angel, you say, excellent. Okay, who are my shepherds? Okay, shepherds. If you hear the word shepherd, I want you to look terrified. Give us your best terrified, scared look. That looks pretty, you look pretty happy. Harrison, let's see, terrified. Okay, all right. And I've got a wise person this morning. My wise person, when you hear that, you are going to look up into the sky, pointing your finger and looking highly intelligent. Very good. Excellent. They're doing great. So, let's get started. A is for angel. Oh, really loud. And you're allowed to help them if you want to. The angel, Gabriel, began the story by telling Mary, good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you, Mary. You have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. B is for Bethlehem, where our story takes place. People traveled from far and wide to get to Bethlehem, which was not a very big village. C is for census. Does anybody know what a census is? Allison, what's a census? You are exactly right. So it was an official counting of all the people, and that's the reason why there were so many people in Bethlehem that day. D is for donkey. A donkey carried the family on their long journey. Mary and Joseph traveled. Now, do you want to make a guess how many miles they had to travel? Anybody want to make a guess? Margaret, what's your guess? No guess? Beta. 2 years? Ooh, that'd be a long journey. Little less than that. Milana, how many miles? 18. Harrison? 2,000. Allison? 80, you're pretty close. They traveled 107 miles along the Jordan River to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Would you say that's a pretty long journey? I'd say so too. E is for exhausted. Can you show me what exhausted looks like? How many of you saw your parents looking exhausted yesterday? Yes. And notice they all know what that is. Exhausted. That's how everyone must have felt when they arrived. Because it would take about 36 hours of walking to go that far. That's 3 days in a row of doing nothing but walking. So no wonder they were exhausted, right? F is for family. Mary and Joseph and their new baby Jesus created a new family, one that would bless the whole world. While they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. G is for the good news.
Get ready, angels.
This is what the angel said. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. The shepherds were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is a Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a babe wrapped and lying in a manger." And at once the angel was joined by a huge angel choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth. H is for hope. Hope is knowing that good news is coming, even when things look bad. Jesus is the source of our hope. I is for imagine. Now, here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes. No peeking. If you imagine, we can see the beauty and the wonder of the angels. Angels proclaiming good news to all men and women. We can see the shepherds. First terrified, but then overcome with joy as they hear the good news. If we try even harder, we can imagine a world where God's peace reigns, where there is no war or hunger. And if we can imagine it, we can do it with God's help. Okay, now you can open your eyes back up. J is for joy. Joy is the happiness that comes from God. It cannot be dampened, and it is always shared. The birth of Jesus gives us joy. K is for king. Though Jesus would be king, he was not the kind of king people were used to. Most kings are born in palaces surrounded by servants. He was born in a stable surrounded by dirty, smelly shepherds. Most kings rule with power and fear. Jesus rules with mercy and love. L is for lost. When Jesus grew up, he told a lot of stories, and three of them were about lost things that were found. He loved to find lost things. When you are with Jesus, you will never be lost. He is the good shepherd. Shepherds. Who does anything to find his lost sheep. L is also for love. Jesus summarized his ministry by saying, "Love God and love your neighbor as yourself." M is for manger. Manger is usually used to hold what? What do you usually put in a manger? Margaret? Hay? What did you say? Animals? Animal food? Yep, that's what a manger's for. But this time, it held the baby because there was no crib. N is for Noel. Noel is another word for Christmas, and it means new birth. And that's what happened in our story. That's what happens every year at Christmas time. O is for offering. The wise men, thank you, gave gifts to the baby, and we can offer our gifts every day. We give our time, our talents, and our treasure to God. P is for peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace and the source of the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. Q is for quiet. we began a time of prayer in quiet, allowing God to speak to us. R is for revealed. It's kind of a tough word. We don't use that word very often. Revealed means showing us something that was once hidden. God revealed to us what love looks like by giving us Jesus. Jesus is love and reveals to us the way to love one another. S is for star. Get ready again, Allison. One special star guided wise men to come see the baby. They were mysterious and they lived far away, but they brought gifts to Jesus because they knew he would grow up to be king. T is for trust, the faith we have in God. U is for unity, all different people brought together to celebrate God's love. V is for vulnerable. That's a hard one too. Vulnerable means able to be hurt. Every baby is very vulnerable, and so are we when we love one another. God became vulnerable when Jesus was born, and we are called to be vulnerable when we love our brothers and sisters. W is for wonder. Like the wise men, we stand in awe and wonder of the newborn king. X is for Christ. X is the Greek letter, the first letter in the word Christ. The X is one of the most ancient symbols of Christianity. People have been using the letter X to stand for Christ for centuries. Y is for you. Now you all need to get ready. You angels, you wise men, you shepherds, you sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, friends and strangers, you are all here to worship and celebrate the birth of Jesus. Z is for zeal. Let your zeal for Christ burn brightly, though the light of God is steadfast and endures forever. So the ABCs, you just told the whole story with the ABCs. Thank you so much for helping me this morning.
Thank you, guys. Did a fantastic job. So I was thinking about what to do for this morning because it would be a weird Sunday. The Advent season's done. Christmas is over. We're not yet back into a new year. And at the start of the new year, we're going to dip back into a series in Luke's gospel that we've been in before, talking about the open invitation that Jesus offers to us. So it's just a weird sort of Sunday. So I decided we would do a bonus track of the Advent series, because we're done with the themes of light and dark, but we are still talking about the Christmas story this morning. And so we are going to talk about bringing your gifts to the king. And what better way to kick that off than by giving you a quiz? We let all the kids leave, and now we're going to have a pop quiz. It's perfect. So if you want to write answers down, you can. If you just want to follow along, the questions will be on the screen. Do not cheat. Do not share your answers with one another. Right? And then we will go over the answers to the quiz at a certain point in time in just a few minutes. So if you came Sunday morning expecting to be quizzed, then you're in the right place. So here we go. This is a wise man quiz. We'll start with something really easy, right? How many wise men visited Jesus? Don't cheat. I'm watching all of you. The second question. When and where did the wise men visit Jesus? You guys are doing well. I don't even see any mumbling back and forth to each other. Number three. Where did the journey of the wise men originate? I expected to be a lot more attempts at cheating. I'm kind of disappointed that you guys aren't trying to cheat more. Number four, what gifts did the wise men bring to Jesus? Number five, What were the names of the wise men? Ooh. Shh, no talking. And the final question, what roles or titles did those wise men have in their homeland? So, we're going to go over the answers in just a moment. But before we do, let's read from Matthew's gospel about said wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. All right. So now, you've been quizzed. You've seen all the source material for the quiz itself. So let's talk about the answers to the quiz. The first question, how many wise men visited Jesus? And of course the answer is, we don't actually know. Let's stop there. We don't know how many wise men visited Jesus. If you heard the number 3 in the story I just read to you, let me know where you found it, because it is nowhere to be seen in the story itself. So why do we traditionally see 3 wise men in pictures and nativity scenes? 3 gifts. Yeah, it's simple mathematics. It makes it really easy for a Christmas production if you have 3 people and each person gets 1 gift when they walk in. It's very nice that way. But it's not actually in the text. Matter of fact, there are some in the eastern parts of Christianity that believe that there were 12 magi, 12 of the wise men that visited Jesus. So the first answer, we don't know. The second answer about, let me go back to my page here. When and where did the wise men visit Jesus? Yeah, we don't know when the wise men visited Jesus, but it was likely many months and maybe even up to 2 years after the birth of Christ. So the first thing this means is if you have a manger scene at home, a nativity scene, and the wise men are present at the manger, you're doing it wrong. So it's not really historically accurate. I remember when Pastor John was here one Sunday, he talked, and I'll never forget this, he said that when they realized that at his house, they actually set up the nativity on the dresser or whatever it was on a shelf, and they put the wise men all the way across the room somewhere else, because at the time, they would be on their way still to visit Jesus. Why do we know this? How do we know this? First of all, what we just read says when they visited Jesus and Mary, they entered a what? A house, not a stable. So it's not the same scene, right? And secondly, if you know the rest of the story, Herod, when the wise men don't return to him, he decides to try and end the problem himself, and he has all baby boys in that area up to age 2 killed. So, you know, up to 2 years later is when the Magi, the wise men, actually visited Jesus. So if your first 2 answers were, I don't know, you're doing really, really well. Where did the journey for the wise men originate? Yeah, we don't know exactly. Now, we do know that they came from the east. Some traditions suggest they came from maybe Arabia or Persia or India. There's even one tradition out there that says maybe one or more of the wise men came from China. So some of the traditions suggest they didn't all come from the same place, but they came from different areas far away, which I think begs the question, how did they meet up and end up coming together? Like, that's the story I want to hear, about how these wise men who happen to be maybe one night eating at the same restaurant or staying in the same hotel, and they hear in the lobby, yeah, I'm following this star to this place. And the guy's like, you too? So, I mean, how did they get together? We don't know. We just know that they were coming from the east. Okay, you doing well so far? Number four, what gifts were brought to Jesus? This is not a trick, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You probably got that one. But the bonus question is why? Why those things? Now, gold is obvious, a very valuable metal that would have value in the culture of that day. The other ones are maybe a little different. Frankincense was a perfume, sometimes burned as incense, as an act of worship. And myrrh, the most popular thing to use myrrh for, was actually as like an embalming type ointment for somebody who was going to be buried. These might have been common gifts to give to a king at the time of a king's birth, so that's part of maybe why we see them here. The early church leader Origen suggested that these gifts have some spiritual meanings to them. He said, gold as to a king, myrrh as to one who is mortal, and incense or frankincense as to one who is God. Sort of showing all of these different aspects of who Jesus is. What about the names? What are the names of the wise men? Yeah, you're catching on. We don't actually know. But that doesn't stop tradition from taking guesses. Things like Melchior or Melichior, or and then Caspar, he has a lot of extra names. Gaspar, Jaspar, Jaspis, Gathaspa, and then Balthazar. So as you can see, there are many different options. So next year, when you set your wise men up in your nativity, across the room from the manger, if you want to name them, you can choose any one of these names that you like, and you can name your wise men all of these things. Lastly, what roles or titles did the wise men hold in their homeland? Yeah, see, now you're all a little hesitant to answer, right? How does the song go? We three, right. But did we read that anywhere in the text? So the final answer is, we don't actually know. Despite songs like We Three Kings. And actually, the word in the Greek that's used to describe these men, the Magos, and the fact that their journey is initiated by a star makes it most likely that they were actually priests in a Persian religion that considered watching the stars to be a critical part of what it meant to be a religious leader. So, we don't know a lot. Why, then, are the wise men still important today? I'll give you four reasons, and we're going to be done with this. Here's the first reason. From the very beginning of Jesus' story, outsiders were welcomed to worship the Messiah. These are people from the East. These are not Jewish folks. These are not people who have known things for a long time and been part of the culture. These people came from a long way off, and they were welcomed to worship the Messiah. Secondly, it is possible to have all the right information and still live completely out of step with the ways of God. Did you notice when Herod heard from the Magi that there is a child born and we want to go and worship him, he consulted his own wise men, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He went to his own wise men, and those wise men had the right answer for him. Yeah, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. He had all the right information, but what did he do with that information? Did he choose to worship? No. He chose to act out of fear and self-interest and with violence. And he called for the death of all these young boys, age 2 and younger. Information is great. It's valuable. It can often lead us to the best answers. But really, it's the pursuit of Jesus that matters the most. Third, some people have a longer road to Jesus than others. The shepherds didn't have to go far. They got there that night and got to see everything for themselves. These wise men, the Magi, it took them a longer time, a longer journey, a winding road. And so just as a reminder today, if there are people that you know who have not yet arrived at the point of worshiping Jesus, some people have a road that takes longer to get to Jesus than others. And lastly, everyone has a gift to bring. At the very most basic level, the story of the Magi is the story of the fact that we are welcome to bring our gifts to the King. And we each can do that. We each have something that we can offer to Jesus from our own lives. So, just a few things to think and pray through, and then we're going to have special music to sort of cap this all off. Who are the furthest outsiders to Jesus today? And could you see yourself worshiping beside them? Second, does the way you live match up with the vast information you have access to as a follower of Jesus? Third, take a moment to pray for someone you know whose journey hasn't yet led them to recognize Jesus as King. And then lastly, what gift do you have to bring to the King? And instead of having some silent reflection time, we're actually going to let you reflect while we share a song with you. Because in addition to the wise men being the ones who brought gifts to Jesus, there is a very well-known Christmas song that is about the same thing. It's called The Little Drummer Boy. And it's a more fictional tale of someone bringing something to the King. But during this time to reflect, instead of doing it in complete silence, we are going to ask our ushers to come and help out. And here's what we're going to do. While you hear this song and consider the words and listen to the tune, we are going to pass out to you these little strips of paper. And these little strips of paper say on them, be they treasure or talents, bring your gifts to the King. And we took some frankincense and actually dunked the strips of paper in the frankincense. So not only can you read this idea of giving your talents or your treasure, whatever it is, to the King, if you take a whiff and you can smell that frankincense, that idea that we give our gifts to the King, we give our gifts to Jesus. So I'm going to invite the ushers forward at this time. And while this song is played, again, reflect on the words, allow them to settle into your heart. But take one of these strips of paper as it comes your way and consider what your gift might be for Jesus.
Rump,
me and my drum.
Amen. Want to do a few Christmas songs?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Sounds great.
So if you guys have any favorite Christmas carols, especially ones that you can find in the hymnal that you can then just sort of shout out a number and we can take a look at, we'll do a few, see where it goes from there.
But it only works if you guys give us songs to play. Otherwise, we're just sitting here in silence, and that's just really awkward.
Yeah. Away in a manger.
Away in a manger. What was that, Mark?
And I heard 166.
We Three Kings. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's start with We Three Kings. How about that? And then we'll do Away in a Manger. What? No? I'm getting booed. Oh, man. Already?
That didn't take long.
Wow. Okay. Away in a Manger. Fine. Whoa. Let the people speak. Yeah. All right. I got to figure out what number it is on mine here. 157 in yours. I have a special version.
Notebook. It's the King James hymnal.
It's the Greek hymnal. All right, Away in a Manger.
Mark, you said We Three Kings 166, yeah? All right. It's the right number for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Amy would like us to correct it. It's we several kings, we bunch of kings.
We unknown number of kings.
We many kings.
We several kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar.
And 148 in that order. 139.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare question the order
148.
Anymore.
And I'm realizing now that I should have used that chorus in my devotional for Christmas Eve.
We got you covered.
The perfect light.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What's the title of 139? Oh, man. Classic. All right. Let's see. I hope it's in this one. I wonder. Nope, it's not in this one. So I might need to borrow one.
Oh,
okay. Can you
grab
me that one?
So 139 is I Wonder as I Wander. What's yours, Bob? Holy Night. Oh, Holy Night. All right.
Oh, that's not right.
Loving
sing. Sorry.
I don't usually hear that one at Christmas time, and I think I would remember because having a song with the word ornery in it is pretty unique. So I would remember if we sang that one a lot. Also, I was trying to remember from high school choir what optional coda means at the end. So I just kind of let you handle that one. You did great, by the way.
Thank you.
So,
O Holy Night.
Yeah. 148 for most of us.
We'll do verse 1 and 3.
1 and 3. Got it.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of a dear Savior. Thank you.
One more? Can I have a closing? I have a closing request.
Great.
Can we do that? How about the first Noel? Can we do the first
Noel? Sounds great.
As our last one.
Yeah.
136. 136. The first Noel.
Sorry, if you want more than that, we're just going to have to get a tip jar.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll spend the rest of today, the rest of this week, remembering that Jesus is a tremendous gift to us and that we have gifts to bring to the King, to bow before Jesus, to give of ourselves and to give ourselves to Him. Wherever you are today, whether here in this room, whether joining us online, wherever you're going next, go in God's grace. Amen. Poinsettia that you'd like to take home with you. If you have a poinsettia that you'd like to take home with you, come on up front and grab one.